Christ is born.
Glorify.
You may be seated. We celebrate today this great feast of the Nativity of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh. And that last word that I just said, in the flesh, is important, because it's not the beginning of the person of Jesus Christ. The person of Jesus Christ is eternally begotten of the Father before all worlds. Begotten of the Father, without a human mother, without a mother. Then in the flesh, which we are celebrating here, he's born in the Virgin Mary without a human father. This divine person, the Creator who made all things, has taken on flesh, our flesh. He appeared before in the Old Covenant. He was there in Genesis. God said, and all things came to be. Who's the said? The Logos, the eternal Son of the Father. He was the Creator. He appeared in the Old Testament various times, but something wonderfully additional happens. Addition is such a weak word when we're talking about this wonder. He becomes one of us. He fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that God would walk with us, God would be with us. He reveals God to us fully. This is the wonder of wonders. In all Christian theology, really flows from this wonder that God became flesh. The person of Jesus Christ takes on our nature. Now that's enough to marvel at, but then you take it a step further. The marveling continues when you understand what he did for us, why he did it. Yes, so that we will know him, but even more than just knowing him and knowing him more fully, God revealing himself, and he did that so beautifully in all of the teachings that we find in the Holy Gospels, God revealing who he's really like, who he really is, reveals himself as pure love and mercy. But he goes further. He did that so that we could become children of God. That's what the epistle says. Back again to this theme of birth. In the wonderful epistle that was read today, when the time had fully come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. There's the wonder, there's the mystery. And then it says, next line, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, as children. Adoption as children. So there's two things going on here that St. Paul says, that's why he came, to redeem us and then to adopt us as his children. Those are two great wonders that we also take to heart and ponder and give thanks for on this great feast day. To redeem us. That means all of the, if you want to call it bondage thinking, or the bondage living that we may find ourselves in. Bondage regret that we may have from things that we have done and left undone. All of that the Lord came to forgive, but even more than just forgive, he came to free us and to cleanse us and to give us a new beginning with new freedom. With that new freedom, he takes it a step further. He's not just freeing a servant or a slave, but he's adopting us as his children. So that each and every human born of God has now this gift. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. Wow, that's a new identity. It's a wonderful new identity. You're not who you think you might be. You're much more than you ever thought you were, because we've been adopted as his children. And we know that because of, St. Paul goes on, he's put his spirit in our hearts so that we can, from our hearts, cry out to him and say, Abba, Abba, which means Dad, Father. That's what we do in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, because we're adopted children. Wow, wow. Whenever we need help, like a little child cries, Dad, help me. That's what we do with God. Abba, help me. Have mercy on me. He's a good Father. He loves us. We're his children. Wonder of wonders. This was proclaimed to the first people that heard of the Nativity of Christ back in the beginning of first century, when our Lord was born over 2,000 years ago in the flesh. Proclaimed to simple folk first, because they were most likely to believe it. Sometimes our intellectual thinking gets in the way. Those simple shepherds out in the fields, they heard the proclamation from the angels of this wonder. Joseph and Mary, they were there. And the shepherds go to visit them. We find a donkey and an ox there in a cave. Ponder the nativity icon up there. Wow, what do we see in this? It's donkey and an ox in a cave. It's the restoration of creation back at peace with God. A donkey and an ox at peace with God. Joseph and Mary, simple believers, faithful, courageous in their faith. Shepherds gathered, simple shepherds. And what a wonder. What worship. But the Lord revealed himself also, not just to them. He revealed himself to wise men who came from afar, guided by a star. The wonder of that. The star, of course, is a miraculous star that guided them. Should be no surprise, a God who can be born of a virgin, a God who creates everything out of nothing, a God who does what he does to save us. He created a star to guide those wise men, and they came. They brought their gifts. So they were the ones that you'd say would be great thinkers. So God calls those kind of people too, great thinkers. And he calls them from afar, from another country. And the wonder of that is, you think how God's been working in that land of, it would be modern day Iraq, or how has he worked there? Assyria, the old Assyrian Empire, how has God worked there? Weren't the 10 tribes of Israel captured, carried back to that land, and then assimilated with those people that lived there? They're called the Lost Tribes of Israel. But were they lost in their assimilation with the Gentile people in that land? Probably the story continued of God, of the true God. And it was in the hearts of these people, these wise men, to look for it. And so they come. And it's the first fruits of God bringing together people from all ethnicities. You see, God loves everyone. He's calling all nations, all peoples to Him. And so they come, including those lost ones of the house of Israel. They come. Their message, though, is not just to them. The wondrous story is that the Lord even reveals Himself, His coming, to King Herod. And he was a wicked man. So God wants to reveal Himself not just to the good, but even to the wicked. He was so wicked, He's the murderer of children, the children of Bethlehem. But God shares good news with him, just like God shared good news with Pharaoh of old and gave Pharaoh multiple and multiple opportunities to repent and change. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. And so he reveals himself to Herod, but sadly, Herod does not change. He reveals himself to the chief priests and the scribes that were the counselors of Herod. They know the scriptures, but they don't know it in their hearts. What a difference that is. They just know it as a dry theology. But they don't know it inside with true faith, with true love. And so they miss this wonderful gift, this opportunity. Father Alexander Schmemann, talking about what God has given us, he says, it's like paradise is again restored. Paradise is restored, and here is Adam again with a new opportunity. A new opportunity. And we're back in paradise. It's a new creation. That's what we're celebrating in this wonder of Christmas. It's a new creation that God has begun. We're back in paradise. And He's giving us a taste of that tree that we had not eaten, the tree of life. That's the Holy Communion that we partake of today. That tree of life. And the Eucharistic gifts, they're called holy gifts because it's the gift of God again manifesting Himself to each of us, just as He did at the beginning of this wondrous story in the first century where He became flesh. All of this is to produce in us a new life, to live out that new identity. You see, St. Paul goes on in Galatians after he says we're sons of God, we're also heirs, heirs. That is, a child will ultimately inherit. And God wants us to have a glorious inheritance. It's not automatic, it just means our willingness to worship Him humbly, like the good examples we see in this story, to come to Him in faith like the good people that we see in this story, and let Him teach us as little children, step by step, as we grow as little children of God, to become ultimately His heirs. I love that phrase, now and ever, that we say in the Orthodox Church, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen. We are assured of a destiny as we unite ourselves with Christ, a glorious destiny. He comes with healing. He comes with feeding. He comes with forgiveness and restoration of brokenness and reconciliation. He comes to redeem, work things out, even things that are so painful and difficult, so that we can say, I can see the hand of God working. There is a purpose here. There's a purpose. God always has that. And his purpose is always good. And as he works, he's with us, even in the difficult times, because he's the bread of heaven, coming and dwelling in us who feed on him and stay in union with him. Wonder of wonders, we celebrate. And the wonder continues as he works his wonder and his presence in our hearts. One of the theologians of our time, he was not Orthodox, he was a German Lutheran theologian that I've studied, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He preached a sermon in 1939 as he had returned to Nazi Germany. And he could have stayed where he was in America and been a successful and rich, safe man. He chose to go back to face what he faced, to be part of a confessing church that stood against Hitler and all the popular wrong thinking that had taken over that land. And he continued in that role, and he suffered for it for 5 years, and then ultimately he was executed. You say, well, what's the point? I don't know what God calls us to, but God is with us. Each and every one of us, whatever we're called to witness, called to endure, and ultimately we have a glorious destiny awaiting us as we stay in union with him. One of our dear members of our parish family, I've been visiting her. You've probably seen that in some of my writing to you, Tina Adcock. I think of dear Tina and what an important role she's had in this church, why we're here and all the things we have here and we enjoy because of her faithfulness and her dear husband, Frank. And she's one of many, but right now she's nearing the end of her life. And visiting her, difficulty in communicating now, I think of what she did in the past and now back to a simple little room in assisted living. You're tempted to kind of be cynical and sad and say, what's the point? No, the point is we have a glorious destiny. We are children of God and ultimately heirs. We go through these trials. And we ultimately go through sickness, and we all face that hour of death. And even before that, probably losses and sickness. But God is with us. God is with us. We are his children. The wonder of wonders is inside us. And that's what he assures us. Our only job is not to try to figure it all out. We never will. That's just prideful intellectualism. Not give in to despair or just worldly thinking and worldly living, but to stay in union with our glorious Lord who loves us so dearly. He became one of us to redeem us, to make us his children, to put his spirit in our hearts, to guide us, and ultimately to give us this glorious destiny to be heirs with him. I can't even begin to imagine the glory of what that will be, to be an heir with God, now and ever and unto ages of ages. This is what we celebrate on this glorious feast. Christ is born.
Glory to God.
Amen.